Dan, thank you. I'll turn it back over to you. And it sounded like we could hear you pretty clearly now. So thank you so much for working through that. Many of us are getting ready for the storm, and this was just good practice for us reconnecting on things. So.
Yes, we are, aren't we, Tony? So again, thanks for asking the Office of Early Learning to participate. Just a little bit of information about myself. I actually was in this position from 2012 to 2014. My background is elementary ed, special education, at-risk children, and I spent almost a lifetime at the Department of Education prior to this position, and always had pre-K programs for DOE, basically as a special assignment and also as an organizational assignment over the years. So feel like I've come back home, and honestly, I'll quit counting starting tomorrow, but I am on day 14, and every day has been a validation of, I believe this is where I belong and what I can do and assist in moving the ball in early learning across the state of Florida. Just to maybe say a little bit about our population, there's a slide that you're showing. I don't think this is anything new to everyone that is sitting and participating on the webinar, is how many children are younger than six in the third largest state across the country. Very proud that 36% of those, 29% of the 36% that are low-income kids actually participate in school readiness. Want to see how we can continue to have that number increase. Same thing really about the number of four-year-olds participating in BPK, wanting to ensure that we can do better than 75% of the state's four-year-olds. So that means we're going to need a lot of participation, not only clearly by the business community, maybe informing your employees of the opportunity, our early learning coalitions in partnership with our local school districts, just making sure families know what is available to them. Before I go to the next slide, I probably just wanted to talk a little bit about priorities, my priorities for the office and for people that know me. It's really unchanged. I'm all about collaboration and communication from providers to coalitions to also within our sister agencies, Department of Children and Families, DEO, and then obviously the Department of Education. The other priority I have is to increase some transparency, so there should not be any mystery in what the Office of Early Learning does or what coalitions do. I am also looking to build some better direct relationships and conversations and methods of communication with our almost 10,000 providers between school readiness and the voluntary pre-K program. I'm a program person at heart, so looking at innovation, not institutions, is really a motto. And Tony, I think we stole this from you in a conversation just a little while ago. And as I go through some of the pieces here, I think you'll also see that there is a huge commitment from both the governor and Commissioner Corcoran about making early learning a priority, which I think is a huge green light for us and in public entities, but also private providers. And to that end, you look at the next slide, the State Board of Education, gee, it seems a while ago, but it was just last week, supported and approved the Office of Early Learning's legislative budget request, which basically covers our school readiness program, but also the voluntary pre-K program. What we're thrilled about is clearly the commissioner and the State Board of Education supported the first increase in over 6 years to the base student allocation for the VPK program. So I think this particular slide shows the increase, and remember how big our state is. Even just a 2% increase is almost $12.8 million of general revenue. You business leaders, along with our colleagues, you know that getting in the department's budget is the first hoop, but we'll need collective support in that area as well, and we're thrilled to have it. Another one of our priorities, as I mentioned, and there was actually, and it's, you could look on the next slide, it's been echoed by not only Commissioner Corcoran, but often the governor and the first lady, their impetus to ensure that we are making the state of Florida the education state across the country. We just pulled basically from the Florida Chamber scorecard, which is a great tool for people to look at. These are typically the metrics that you will see, obviously, the Florida Chamber, but a wealth of information that also is available from the Department of Education and, most recently, looking at revisions to the State Board of Education strategic plan. And we have the opportunity to ensure that the early learning community and appropriate metrics are reported to the state board publicly on specifically early learning programs. And I just wanted to take a look at some of these metrics here about the message. I think most of you and many of those participating on the phone, you are the card-carrying experts in this program. You know the background. Some of the particular data points or research that I like to point to is the 2011 Annie E. Casey Foundation report that talks about double jeopardy when they've analyzed reading scores of nearly 4,000 students over 10 years. We know that students who are not reading proficiently by the end of third grade are four times more likely to drop out of school. We also know that low-income children of color, their risk jumps up eight times to drop out of school if they are not reading proficiently by the end of third grade. And many of you know all of these data by heart. We also know that it's not only an educational problem, but it becomes a social and economic one as well. For example, the National Assessment of Adult Literacy knows that 7 out of 10, unfortunately, of our prison inmates cannot read above a fourth grade level. And we have a huge opportunity to help shift some of those major metrics by focusing in on pre-K through grade 3. And so if you take a look, for example, at the next slide, one of the things we just data points that we wanted to make sure we shared, and I'm not sure that you've seen it, and we're open to anybody's suggestions to make sure we tell the picture. We tell the story appropriately and maybe more accurately, is all of you know that we have had, maybe not all, but we've had statewide kindergarten screening in this state for well over 10 years. It is so that there is at least a snapshot in the first 30 days of kindergarten to be able to know what is quote-unquote ready, what percentage of first-time kindergarten children on a very simple screening tool are being assessed as ready for kindergarten. It doesn't mean they're reading. It doesn't mean that they know every single sound a letter makes. It just means that they do have somewhat of a foundation by which to build upon between kindergarten and third grade to get kids reading at or above grade level. So what the chart shows you is, and the cohort of kindergarten students is somewhere around 200,000 usually, and you know there are some kids who may not have been in attendance long enough in the first 30 days. There are some children for whom this assessment may not be appropriate, and those are kids whose native language is not English, and it may be some children with special needs. But if you look at the last 2 years' worth of data on the chart, when we look at all public school kindergarten children who have been screened on the last 2 years on an instrument called the STAR Early Literacy, you have 54% of all kindergarten children last in 2017 scored at a quote-unquote ready level. That percentage dropped a little bit to 53% last year. If you go back and look at remembering the goal of the VPK program is to get kids ready for kindergarten in a developmentally appropriate manner, you see that kids who participated in VPK, even if they didn't complete the whole program, their achievement is at a higher level than the total kindergarten population. And the better data also shows in the very far right side of the screen for those that completed the VPK program. And that means that they were there at least 70% of the time, availed themselves for the opportunity of the good quality instruction by our VPK providers. Those data are obviously even better. 63% of those kids in 2017 scored at a level ready, and then you had a little dip to 62% based on last year's kindergarten screening. The point I think we want to make is those are the metrics along with another metric. We'd like to be able to look at that same data for children who just participated participated in the school readiness program. We need to take a look at those kids. We also need to look at the four-year-olds or the five-year-olds that completed in school readiness and VPK, which obviously is a model that works for families and providers as well. So I think one of the things that maybe in closing is we have a lot of opportunities ahead of us. We have a lot of excitement. We are, on behalf of all early learning providers, coalitions, we are thrilled that the Florida Chamber Foundation has continued this support of the Business Alliance because you all can absolutely make the difference. And I think there are tons of specific examples of businesses supporting their communities through business efforts or also individual philanthropic efforts. So, Tony, I think that was my 10-plus minutes.
Director Goff, thank you so much. First, congratulations. I should have said that when we first logged back in, and it's a pleasure working with you. Looks like there's a bunch of questions, and I'm going to try and summarize a few of these things. One of the items that was mentioned was, let's see, it looks like a few comments on funding formulas. And you did have some comments about the legislative budget request. Anything that we could be doing to elevate the conversation about funding for VPK or any other items or comments about the directions?
Thank you, Tony, and that's a perfect question to ask about. Absolutely. We need communities, we need parents, we need providers, we need the entities that are most affected, and obviously that is children and their families, to be able to continue to support that increase. I think for a long time, you know, there's been rhetoric back and forth about should we do a cost of level increase or not? But I think we all get to the point. It's been a long time. 2% debt is $12.8 million of general revenue, and to be able to support just as many of you do, that is a huge investment in the future of Florida students. So absolutely, we look forward for all the support at every possible level.
And there are some questions about... you mentioned the school readiness, and we had a good year last year, and I guess that's also, it sounds like a commitment of the commissioner and the governor to make sure that we're taking care of all different populations, but particularly vulnerable populations. Is that what I heard you say as well?
Thank you, Tony. Absolutely, and I probably should have articulated more clearly, is the state board and the commissioner can have supported our legislative budget request and school readiness, which is based upon the general revenue that we generously get from the legislature along with our federal allocation. So absolutely taking a look at that. The other piece I think you're going to hear a lot more about in the next couple of weeks is there have been, through legislative and lots of provider efforts, there have been some levers put in place to absolutely improve the quality of our school readiness providers. Remembering day 14, but I look forward to sharing that good news because there is a lot of good news about progress that has been made to ensure that, as you mentioned, our most vulnerable kids, birth to five and school age kids, are in good quality programs.
You know, it's something that we don't normally talk about, and while it's only one question that was submitted on this, those are kids in foster care. I don't know if we're ready to talk about that today, but it'd be interesting to see how we develop and move forward on that one. So You mentioned summer slide, and that caught some people's interest, folks. And I'm sorry, you actually mentioned attendance issue, and seems like there's strategies to make sure that we can help students not only attend during the regular school year, but continue on through summer education. And I know that that's one of your areas of interest as well. Is that what I heard?
Yes, thank you, Tony, again. Part of what I would also say is there are a ton of resources out of the Office of Early Learning that are free to parents and providers. There are a lot of parent resources to be able to support during the summer, whether you are in a summer school readiness program or if a family chose to participate in a VPK summer program. We are going to also include that as how can we make sure the availability of those free resources is much more widely known.
Awesome. It looks like there's I apologize, I'm bouncing around because I'm trying to categorize a number of the questions. There's a lot of interest in this, so I know that folks will be following up with you probably on some of these items. Let me jump to something that we didn't talk about and often doesn't fall into your office, but we don't just have third and fourth graders born that year and then go to VPK and go into kindergarten. How can we work together on the 0 to 3 strategy? Are those resources on your website as well, or is there somewhere else that I know that you've been in this space for a little while. Maybe there's something else you can direct us to?
No, I think you're absolutely right. Most people talk about, the four-year-old program through third grade, but obviously in the early learning space, we all know and your participants know, and many of them experts, is if we wait till the kid's four, it's really almost too late. And we don't want to necessarily say that out loud, but there's lots of resources for families in birth to three. Part of what my role is to also communicate and collaborate with some of the DOE family resources. We also have Department of Health that deals with, our infants and toddlers with disabilities and how we can make some of those supports for families more seamless. So absolutely. And there are some line item and some big statewide projects like Help Me Grow that provide families with direct resources to be able to assist them.
Director Goff, there are so many good questions here, and what for folks who are submitting them, what we'll do is we'll compile these and get them to Executive Director Shan Goff, and maybe we can find ways to keep answering these on the Business Alliance website. I have one more question for you, but before we leave you, Director Goff, want to highlight some of the questions are technical things, like will the slides be available after the event, and do we have other resources? I do want to let you know that the information will be available on the Business Alliance for Early Learning's website, and that is floridachamber.com, all the words spelled out, floridachamber.com/early learning. And that's a resource where you can access a number of tools, and we'll continue to post things that we get from the Office of Early Learning on here. So, Shan, let me end with maybe the question and a point of the Business Alliance to some degree. We've got a lot of folks on this call that are from the business community, some that are from the early learning community. Looks like we've got great representation from the early learning coalitions that I know you'll work with as well. But what can we do to continue to raise awareness amongst employers about next steps? And you've hit on it a little already about how we can coordinate for messages, but anything that we should be telling businesses or employers around the state about what we can do to help you in this process. I'm very excited about you being over there, and I think that there's great promise for the next few years, and just want to know what messages we should be taking, whether we're a coalition, whether we're the Business Alliance, or whether we're our business itself.
Well, and I think maybe I can answer maybe the easiest question first, which as it relates to the VPK program. I'm still not convinced that all of the families in the state of Florida are aware of the opportunities for their four-year-olds to participate in the VPK program at the provider of their choice. I think 75% of our total four-year-old population is too low for a state like ours. So I think some of those resources and support The early coalitions do a lot of outreach. I think it's also partnering with them as well. And I also think it's making sure that families, you know, of parents who are striving for economic self-sufficiency, that they know about the resources also available. And I think also that we could do a better job of having conversations and, you know, coordinating our message with coalitions and obviously with the business community. So we'd love to be able to do that. The other piece could very be as simple as, you know, including appropriate websites on information, and we can get with you, Tony, to work with that. It would be nice if they knew where the coalition website was, where our website is, in case parents are interested, parents who are employees of your business community. I think we've done a lot of those basic kind of strategies, but it's been quite a few years since we did it in a systematic way.
Kim, I'm going to turn it over to you in a second, but let me just end with Shan. Thank you so much, Executive Director Shan Goff. You have been a joy to work with over the years on a number of the different talent issues, and it's exciting to see you at the Office of Early Learning, and looking forward to sharing the information that you have. And thanks for the sneak peek, by the way, on the screening results page there. I hadn't seen this before, so I greatly appreciate you sharing it on here. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Kim Recklia.
Thank you,